Capernaum, Capharnaum. Their synagogue is about from here to maybe the street from Kepha, from Peter's home. And his home is right there. You come out of his house and the synagogue's right there. You can take a few steps, go to the synagogue. Maybe bring an animal for the rabbi at the synagogue to butcher for you. Bless. Maybe go to Shabbat. Or see the same from other people in your community. That community sits on the Sea of Galilee. It's right there, so you can look and see people on their boats, the fishermen coming up with their day's catch, the women and children running down to greet them. Community, they all knew what other families were doing, what other families were going through. They all worked for the benefit of everyone else. Everyone else worked for their benefit. If there was a need, the community would come together, would rise up together. Amen? They all sat under a rabbi or a teacher there, and they were all basically pulling the rope in the same direction. Anybody who's ever played tug of war, you know when someone else comes on your side and pulls, things get lighter, and you know when someone behind you falls out, you're getting yanked upon. But we're to come together. Hallelujah. And it's easier to come together when things are good than when things get tough. So we're in a season of learning and trusting and coming together in a different way. Amen? So during this month of Elul, it's even more important for us to grow together in this common goal and ensure that we all make it to the finish line together. Amen. Amen. You know, when we're praying about the whole starting a congregation thing. You know, it would have been easy for us just to, in some ways, just to say, you know, the old saying, us four and no more. You know, we're worried about us. We'll take care of us. We're not worried about helping anybody else, helping strangers, you know. And it's real easy to get the mentality of taking care of number one, which is fine. You should take care of yourself first. But there's more than just you. In Messiah, we're called to take care of everyone. He said that any who will come, bring them. Hallelujah. Our service a couple weeks ago, we had a homeless man come in, and he stayed for a couple minutes, you know, and he was looking around. And that was okay. He left, but you know what? He made the step. He wanted to come in for a minute. Okay, wonderful. We helped him what we can do, and he left. And our hands are clean either way. And that's what we're called to do. That's what is going on now in the world. We're called to win the last people to Messiah, in particular the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Hallelujah. There's a person, I won't say where, an older Jewish man that I've been witnessing to for a while. And, you know, you just have to keep doing. You don't know when that seed is finally going to sink in and bear fruit. Hallelujah. So in the last verse, in James 1:12, he says that we are called to endure testing. So now things shift a little bit. Because we're also called to endure temptation or to flee from temptation. But it's interesting that he starts off in verse 12 with being happy about testing because we're waiting for the reward. We're waiting to get to the other side of the test and be rewarded. Amen? As we continue in verse 13, he says, we've gone from testing. Now we're going into temptation. James 1:13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, by Adonai. For Adonai cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. As I was going through this, I just praying, what's the difference, Lord, between these two things? And Lord showed me something. Testing is mainly when something is pressuring you from the outside. Temptation is when something is pressuring you from the inside or on the inside. So he says, be happy when you're testing, endure it. And when you're tempted, don't say it's the Lord. You heard the saying, the devil made me do it. No. You decided to do it. Testing is usually someone or something or circumstances, etc., that is pressuring you to not go on with the ways of the Lord. Temptation is usually associated with something the flesh wants, but the instruction of Adonai comes against, or even what Adonai has instructed you to do personally, it goes against that. I'll let you think about that for a second. There are things that Adonai has told each of us not to do that may be perfectly fine for someone else to do, but not you. Temptation often involves coming to the demarcation line between peace and guilt. Interesting, I was writing this down, I was like, wow, Lord, this is... And then we're tempted to cross the line. But if we do, it'll bring you guilt. You'll cross over from peace into guilt. Sometimes this temptation will result in you being tested to see if you will cross the line or not. Temptation, test. These are all personal wars that go on inside each of us. In Judaism, you often hear the saying, evil inclination. You guys ever heard that? Or what's referred to as the evil inclination. And dealing with our evil inclination. We know that we should do as we are led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are married, if we don't know what to do, our spouses will tell us. Amen. Yeah. And if you're not laughing, you haven't been married long enough yet. Hallelujah. So now we see James, once again, he shifts gears and changes the topic from testing and temptation. And he goes on to talking about gifts. So look what he says here, James 1:16. He said, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. This is what we all want. Good and perfect gifts. Amen? Anybody don't, I'll take your good and perfect gifts if you don't want them. Stack them up right here. And we see in Adonai, everything is pure. He is pure light. This perfect light even lights up areas where there would be shadows cast by lesser lights. And it shows us that he's the bearer of perfect gifts. And he and those gifts are what we should desire. Amen? When God gives us gifts or abilities, he also does something else. He casts his perfect light on the receiver of the gifts. Interesting. People say, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want the Lord to make me a such and such or a such and such. Something in their mind is some elevated position, maybe in ministry. But they don't realize what else comes with that. There's a lot more that comes with it. His light that he shines allows us to see clearly areas that need to be changed, that maybe we don't want to change. Areas that he will empower us to change or flee from if necessary, if we so choose. Praise you, Lord. It's interesting coming into this month of Elul and the season of Elul that we come to these scriptures. He will illuminate things in people around us as well. Sometimes as we're given a special gift by Adonai, he shines light on people around us and separates us from them. He shines light on people around us who are in darkness that we can see. And he separates us from them because we can't carry out that plan of God and still associate with someone who's walking in darkness and coming against that plan of God. Crazy. How many of you have all of a sudden you're excited about the Lord, excited about the Messianic movement, excited about being part of this congregation, excited about things, but you don't want to tell some people because they're not going to be as excited. They're going to turn on you. They're going to remove support from you that they've given you in the past once they see you're carrying on with the Lord in a deeper way that they don't want to go in that direction. Interesting. And I want to pause for a second here and just talk about some things that the Lord has shown me in going through this, in this particular verse about gifts. But again, it's connected to tests and temptation. They're all connected. The Lord will bring people into and out of your life. And not everyone the Lord brings into your life is ordained to last forever. Not everyone he sends you to are you ordained to stay with forever. And the Lord will send you to help someone. And sometimes it's for a season. Sometimes it's for life, but most times, oftentimes, the relationship is based upon both people walking in agreement in Adonai. I'll give you an example of this. This is just an example that came up as I was praying and typing as fast as I could. There's a man and he's moving, and the Lord puts on the heart of another man to go help him move, help him pack and move. And so the person who the Lord puts it on his heart to help the man who's moving, he contacts that man and says, I know you're moving. The Lord has put it on my heart to help you move. And so that person says, oh, wow, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You're an answer to prayer. Because we were praying for someone to help us move. And look, the Lord sent you to help us move. Thank you so much. And so they sit down together and they discuss this move. And it's decided that on the first of the next month at 8 a.m., come on over and help us move. So the first of the month comes at 8 a.m. And you can put yourself in this situation. You show up to help them, and when you get there, something's not right. There's no sign of anyone moving. No moving van. Then you knock at the door, and the person comes out to the door in their pajamas and is surprised to see you there. And they say, what are you doing here? And you say, what do you mean, what am I doing here? Do you remember last month we talked? You were supposed to be moving and you prayed for someone to help you and the Lord put it on my heart to help you. And we agreed that on this date at this time I would come and help you move. So the man says, oh, well, I'm not moving today. We may not move at all. We don't know. Then he gets mad and looks at you and says, You should not have showed up at my house this early. I don't understand why you're even here. And so you're left standing there, puzzled, wondering whether or not you're in an episode of The Twilight Zone. So now you say to him, wait a minute. You told me you were moving today. I have taken time off work to help you. And you're supposed to be packing up since we talked. You're supposed to be preparing to move since we talked about this date. And you've done nothing at all. You told all of your friends that you've been preparing to move, but you're not. So now this person gets very angry and says, you're interfering with my personal affairs. I don't know why you're here. And rebuked you for coming over to keep your word. So again, you put yourself in this position. So how many of you would go back to help them move or do anything else? Sometimes you are the good and perfect gift the Lord is sending to someone, and they reject you. Sometimes they accept you, and then they change and reject you. When the light of Adonai shines, if you're not prepared to have it show you things you don't want to see about yourself or about other people, don't ask him to shine that light. Hallelujah. Even good and perfect gifts of Adonai are rejected. But we're all called to recognize good and perfect fruits from Adonai and to accept them accordingly. You are called to be a good and a perfect gift to others and to act and to be used accordingly by the Lord. We are called to walk in the pureness of Adonai's light, not casting negative shadows on things, rather casting his light on things. For this we'll be tested to see if we want to continue and tempted to quit, but we can't. Adonai wants to use us as a good and perfect gift to someone else. Amen. The gift is the gift. The recipient is the one who gets to decide to reject or accept. There are good and perfect promises given by Adonai when we are used this way and endure. And do not give in to the test, and do not give in to temptation, but endure. Yeshua said in the Gospel of Mark, if you want to hold your place and turn, or you can just listen, Mark chapter 10. Verse 29. He says, amen, I tell you, Yeshua replied, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property along with persecutions in the Olam Haba, or the world to come. The Lord always gives us a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, even a gift can be a blessing. You know, even a fire hose also gets to be wet and partake of the goodness of the water. We can't let people or things get in our way of serving Adonai. It's interesting, this verse, it often, people read this and they say, you know, look, we're supposed to leave our house and our brothers and our sisters and our property to go serve the Lord. And yeah, it says that, but you get this idea when it's talking about the Talmudim, the disciples, that they just like went from LA and were called all the way to China. And they went over there, they never came back, and they never saw our family again. Oh my gosh, that's the kind of the impression you get. All of these men lived around the Sea of Galilee, which is like a big lake. Depending on how fast you can walk around it in a day or two. You can boat across it pretty quickly. Scripture tells us that Yeshua, when he was preaching with his disciples, that all of a sudden their mom showed up and to talk to him and to see him. So they didn't leave in the sense of they were just so far away they could never see him anymore. But they left in the sense of when they left their community to follow Yeshua, they couldn't go back and just go back to the synagogue without being questioned about who are you following? Why did you leave? Why are you worshiping this Yeshua as Messiah? So in that sense, they left. They had to give account. In that sense, they were tempted. They were tested. In that sense, they were the gift of God that God was sending out to other communities to win them to Messiah. Hallelujah. So back to the story. When it's time to remove yourself, ourself, you, me, from relationships that Adonai has said have expired, we're to do so peacefully, with dignity, with respect, honorably. Hallelujah. Regardless of how the other party acts. Regardless of what they say. Regardless of what they talk and tell other people. Hallelujah. When we act appropriately in these things, we are blessed. And Adonai is blessed. Peace is kept. People look at you and judge you when the pressure is on you to do what's right. May we be a blessing to Adonai in such times. Amen. Recognizing that Adonai has good and great plans to use us. Hallelujah. I want to get back to somebody right down in here. Everything has an expiration date. You know, we're all created and we expire one day. Everything in the natural, you know, in a year, 5, 10, 15 years, some of you may be gone doing God knows what, God knows where doing, and you'll look back and say, oh yeah, you know, one time we were here doing that. Wonderful. You know, if and when that happens, leave in peace. Be blessed. We'll bless you on your way out. And if we're in your part of the country or the world, we'll, hey, shalom, you around? Yeah. We'll come see you. This is how it should be. You know, we met here, and so that's the foundation of us meeting in the natural, but it's not the foundation of our relationship. The foundation of our relationship is in the Lord. Hallelujah. I want peaceable relationships. I could say some things about some, there's always craziness around you. Outside of our little bubble right here, there's craziness going on around us. Continuing in James chapter 1, verse 18. He says, by his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Here we go again. What do you give to somebody off of a tree as a gift? Fruit. So he wants us, not only for us to bear fruit, he wants us to be the fruit. When someone bites into us spiritually, it should be a sweet, tasty piece of fruit for the Lord. Who wants to bite into a sour grape? A bruised peach? A mushy watermelon? I can keep going on as they come. I don't like that. I just want to get along with people. You know, people are different. You know, you don't have to have everything in common. Oh, we got all these hobbies. We do the same thing. No, you love the Lord. Hey, how are you doing? We love the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next Shabbat. That's the basis for everything. Community. Oh, you know, their brother down on the other side of the community, his wife. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Let's bless the brother and his wife. Hallelujah. You know, that bald-headed rabbi said such and such last week. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. It is his will that we be fruitful, and it's by his power that we are made fruitful. We cannot bear fruit on our own. It's by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, which every believer has inside. It's by his power. It's not our own. And lastly, I want to say this. Fruit is produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit working in us. And we have a part to play in it too. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Father, we just praise you and we thank you for the word that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord, that we know your word, when it goes forth, it doesn't come back void, Lord. But it goes and it completes the task that it was assigned and designed to complete. So we thank you for all the listeners, Lord, who have heard your word, Father, including myself, that this word would go into us, that it would help us in these things that James saw his people dealing with, so much so that he had to write a letter to them concerning it. That we'll continue to walk in you, Lord, continue to be the fruit, the precious fruit of the earth. Hallelujah, Lord. That we'll continue to be fruit, Lord, that gives off a sweet smelling aroma to you, Lord. That we'll continue, Father, to pray for our enemies, Lord, to pray for those, Lord, who have come against us, Lord, especially for those who come against us, Lord, and we've done nothing wrong. We pray for them. We lift them up to you. The safest place in the world is in the hands of the Most High. So we place ourselves, we keep ourselves in your hands. We thank you for uplifting us, upholding us, Lord. We thank you for uplifting and upholding the world. We thank you for everyone who's here, Lord, and the families we represent, Lord, that your blessing, your help, your peace would reside on them, O God. We thank you for great fellowship in you, for great unity in you, for great peace in you. We thank you if we run into trouble, if we make a mistake, we don't run away from the congregation, but we run to the congregation. We run to the people of Adonai, and we ask, Lord, that we would be useful in your hands, useful to help people who are hurt, who are bruised, O God. We'd be useful to help one another, to pray for one another, to think the best of one another, to be used as instruments of healing and reconciliation. So we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives personally, in our families, and in our small congregation, Lord. A small but mighty congregation in Messiah. So we thank you for this and we seal this in the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is called Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen. To those of you who have watched us by Facebook, please share this with your friends. Please like us on Facebook and please join us. If you're in the Fresno area and you do not have a congregational home, please go to our website, www.emekelohim.org, and find out information about us. We'd love to have you. God bless you and Shavua Tov until next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.